Oh, pirates, yes, they rob I. Take me to the merchant ships. Moments after they saved I from a bottomless pit. My hands are made strong by the hands of the Almighty. Forward in this generation, triumphantly. Won't you help me sing my songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, oh, a redemption song. My songs of freedom. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear of nuclear energy. None of us can stop time. How long must they kill our prophets while we stand beside and look? Some say there's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? It's all I ever had. Oh, all I ever had. Redemption song, these songs of freedom. When your life is over, reaching the end, the River Jordan is round the bend. Will you be counting trophies you've won, or will you look back on things left undone? When a stranger comes knocking, will you let him in? Is there room at your table? Down and out friends, will you hide in the shadows or walk like the sun? Will you look back on, will you look back on things left undone? Somebody you cared for broken your heart. You let foolish pride, Lord, tear you apart. Why couldn't you learn to forgive that someone? Think of all the years wasted on things left undone. When a stranger came knocking, did you let him in? Was there room at your table for down and out friends? Did you hide in the shadows or shine like the sun? Will you look back on things left undone? Will you look back on things left undone? Some say love, it is a river. drowns the tender reeds. Some say love, it is a razor that lays your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only seed. And it's the dream afraid of waking that never learns to dance. And it's the heart afraid of breaking and never takes a chance. And it's the one who won't be taken that never learns to give. And the soul afraid of dying that never learns to live. When the night's been too lonely and the road's been too long, and you're thinking love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the springtime, far beneath the bitter snow, lies a seed with the sun's love. In the spring becomes the rose.
Come, you who are rested from the darkness of night. Come, you who are listening for the breath of God on the morning dawn. Come and worship our Lord. Come with your gratitude for the blessings of this day. Come with your pleadings for mercy and grace. Come and worship the Lord. For God our Father is gathering us in. Jesus, our Savior and brother, is our host. And our holy mothering spirit welcomes us here. Come and worship the Lord. This weekend marks the anniversary of the white supremacist march in Charlottesville, Virginia, 1 year ago. To counter that violent history, the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. United Methodist Church Conference is creating a peace rally in Washington, D.C. today from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They are proclaiming, "United in love, stand together against all forms of hate." There are 1,000 clergy in that conference from 632 churches. They are inviting everyone, all individuals, all faith communities and organizations to cross the line of difference and to come together and together to gather up and lift up the human spirit, renounce all forms of hate, and show that they and we are united in love. May the Lord bless them and all who attend as they show the way of peace today. Let us sing together.
Same book, turn to number 580.
What though my joy
We welcome visitors here this morning, so if you are willing, we enjoy hearing your name and where you're from, and we have ushers on either side for the microphone, so let's start on your left, on your right. Is there anyone who would like to introduce themselves?
Good morning. My name's Kate Lingvik, and I'm married to Brandon, who I think visited you all a few weeks ago. We're from Chattanooga, Tennessee, just moved to State College a week ago, or I moved a week ago, so it's wonderful to be here and worship with you all this morning. Thank you.
Welcome. Anyone else on this side? And on the left side?
I'm Jeremy Grenam. This morning my parents, Chuck and Becky, are here from Houston, Texas. We're spending a few days with us.
Welcome. Glad to see you again. We also have our speaker, Ken Sensenick, who is our visitor today. Ken actually graduated from Penn State back in 1977 when our congregation still met in the Chambers Building. He was one of us at that time. He is the current assistant executive director of Mennonite Central Committee, and that's been in his blood for a long time. He grew up on a farm where the fields almost meet the MCC office in Akron. And he and his brother, I forget whether Karen was with you when you were in Swaziland. Okay, he was already married to Karen Weaver, and they were in Swaziland for quite a few years with MCC. So we welcome him, and we look forward to his children's time and also bringing the morning message. So that leads us to children's time, and the children are welcome to come up, and Ken is going to share some stories.
Children, if you want to just come up here, I want to have you explain a few things to me, and then I want to explain a few things to you. My name is Ken, and I get in a lot of churches, and often I see flowers or a Bible or something up here in the table like this. Can anyone tell me what, these aren't flowers, these aren't a Bible, what are these things here?
Those are school bags.
How do you know that? You packed them, all of them. And the other children helped. Can you tell me what's in them?
School things.
Do you know what's one of the things that's in them?
Erasers
and pencils and notebooks.
And those, I think Gloria told me that I should take those with me when I leave here today, and then I'm going to drive 2.5 hours that way, and I'm going to take them into a big warehouse, and they're going to join kits like that coming from many, many other places, and then they will go out to children who need them to go to school. Some places children have run away from their homes because around the homes there's war, and then they don't have things to go to school. And then Mennonite Center Committee, the organization I work with, helps children to have the things that they need to go to school. I want to tell you something that happened before you were born. It's when your moms and dads were about your age. There were some little boys coming with their mother to help to put these school kits together. We open all these kits and we look to make sure that everybody put everything in, and if there's something missing, we add it. So all of these will be looked at again in the warehouse there. And here came this mother. She was from the Amish community. Some of you perhaps have seen people who drive horse and buggies. The Amish help us with Mennonite Center Committee, like your church does as well. And she brought her two little boys in, and they helped to do these school kits. They made sure that the school kits had the pencils in, the school kits had the notebooks in. And these boys were really, really pretty young. They were 4 years old and 6 years old, and they had a hard time. A hard time keeping all these pencils together, and then we asked them to put a piece of tape around them. Take a piece of tape here and put a piece of tape around them so that the pencils will stay together and they won't poke a hole in the corner of the bag. The pencils in these bags will get taped too. But you know, there were some folks who were helping us to do this. They looked at this and they said, "Look at these little children. They're in this big warehouse, and there are these big machines, forklifts driving around, and there are big balers scrunching blankets together to ship around to other places, around the world. There's all this stuff happening, and here the little children are here working at this table with these pencils, and they're having trouble with it, getting them to stay together." And then somebody figured out, I think maybe it was their mother. You know what she did? She made something like this. It's just a roll of tape, and she found a little piece of pipe and stuffed some plastic in between, and then little Leroy and Jacob would just put their four pencils in like that, and then they would put a piece of tape around them like that. They're really little, their fingers are really little, but they could do this. Now today we don't put four pencils in. We're going to check each of these bags because we need eight pencils. But this was a long, long time ago. Somebody said, "These children are too small," other people said, "Let the little children try it. They can do it." And Leroy and Jacob, they did this. Last week, one of the men who works with me at the Mennonite Central Committee said, "Ken, I'm going to tell you where I was." He said, "I was out at a place. It's a young Amish man and his wife, and they have a little child. And he and his brother are taking some of the money which they earn in their furniture shop. And they're buying things to make, not school kits, but something like school kits. We call them relief kits. And these young men spent thousands and thousands of dollars to make relief kits to send to families over in the country of Syria and other places around the world." And then my friend said to me, "Ken, I want you to know that these are the little boys 20 years ago who were taping pencils in this little gizmo." And then I said, "I want to tell the man who said, 'These little children shouldn't come,' that story." They came back 20 years later and are doing something very, very good for other people around the world. And so when you help to make these kits, maybe 20 years from now, you'll remember this little story and you'll want to do something else to help other people. Let's pray together. For the gift of the pencils, the gift of the notebooks, the erasers, and many other things that will go to children around the world, we thank you. And for the gift of little children who help to make this happen, we thank you. Because of Christ, amen. You may go back to your seat.
We will collect the offering at this time. Please turn to the back of your bulletin for our offering prayer that we will say together. If you happen to have a white bulletin, then it's in the insert. Let us pray together. God, we trust and see that you are good. Everything we have comes from you, source and end of all things. We lift up to you our tithes and our offerings. The fruit of our labors we joyfully share. We acknowledge that we have and all is yours, and that all we have and are returned to you. Receive now our gifts, O giver. Amen. We'll continue with congregational singing.
Sorry, 54. Eric and Rogers are going to help. We're going to sing this song. We're going to sing it each part separately, and then we're going to break into parts, and you can choose whichever part you like to sing. Eric is going to sing the top line, Rogers is going to sing the middle, and I'm going to sing the bottom. So you can pick whatever line, but we'll sing all parts separately once first.
I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 39, probably starting at 19 rather than 20b, and it is on page 32 if you want to follow. And when his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Blessings.
Forty-five boxcars, 1,200 people. Many of you know this story. You've heard it repeated over the years by my late friends and colleagues, Peter and Elfriede Dick. And the refugees are there huddled in these train cars waiting for word that they can exit there at Helmstadt out of the Russian-occupied zone in the post-World War II era. These are folks from Russia speaking German, Mennonites, and they're stuck because, as the train engineer patiently explained to Peter as he stood there in knee-deep snow, I must wait until the light, red light turns green and the bar across the tracks goes up, then we can go. And this was a confluence of a lot of lead-up time, and no one was quite sure. No one knew what would happen. And I can still hear Peter telling the story. I heard a click. I looked up. The light was green. The bar had gone away from the tracks. The steel wheels were grinding on the frozen rails, and they went out of the Red Sea. Some of you know the children's story, Barbara Smucker, Henry's Red Sea. That's a story that illustrates the theme I want to use this morning, of a story that comes down to a very narrow point, and there that little itty-bitty piece makes a difference of how the story unfolds. The book of Zechariah, rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem after their time in Babylon, says, despise not the day of small things. It may be tiny fingers putting together those school kits, but honor them. They may return. And that passage through that Helmstedt railroad station changed the course of history. That tiny little moment. I pressed Peter. He and I did a lot of things very late in his life, mostly telling stories in Amish schools. And I pressed Peter. I said, what actually happened there? And he liked to just explain, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I pressed him a little harder. I believe in miracles. I like miracles, but I have an empirical mind like many of you. And he said, well, I think it was just a little gap in communication. The communication that actually made it through was not intended to make it through, but it did. A miracle. This passage we read from Genesis 39 this morning is a very similar scenario. You have a huge story on both sides of that little microcosm of, here is this young man falsely accused of sexual assault, rotting in jail. He's been disowned by his brothers. His father thinks he's dead. And there he is in jail unjustly. And it's the coming together of a long story. God had called Abraham, and now we come down to this little point and what's going to happen to this story. And we see how Joseph uses the situation, and we know how the story unfolds for the salvation not only of the people of Israel, but of the entire nation of Egypt as well. Sometimes when circumstances sort of strip away all of the extraneous material, we can see those jewels of tiny little pieces that make all the difference. The red light turned green. That's a tiny little piece. MCC is approaching its centennial mark in 2020. And I've been thinking a lot about these stories and how this relates to the story of Joseph. Joseph is there illustrating innocent people go to prison. Joseph is there illustrating that self-advocacy can be useful. When you get out, he told the baker and the butler, don't forget that I'm in jail here, and I'm in jail here unjustly, we might add. And sometimes for Joseph, and other times, sometimes the low point, there's really nothing left but hope. You don't really know from those narrow spaces
where things are going to go. And if you're going to hold on for the future, the only thing left is that hope that future will be different. And that's, I believe, where Joseph was. And one doesn't need to be bitter, I would say. We don't have any sense that Joseph is bitter here. He has every right to be. But he doesn't. You don't need to be bitter if disappointment becomes a part of your life. If we go back to the same era, just a few years earlier, in France, MCC was working during the war in Europe and after the war. In fact, World War II was the thing that made the institution of MCC grow up. And I know I have many good MCC alums in this group and many good MCC supporters, and I'm quite self-conscious of that as I'm speaking here this morning. But MCC was working in Europe. MCC had the audacity to send a young woman. Her primary skill was that she was a French speaker, Loss Gundon, and she went to the southern part of France, close to the Spanish, the border with Spain, because all these Spanish refugees had been fleeing across from Spain during the Spanish Civil War into France, and MCC sent Loss Gundon to help care for these refugees in a children's home where she was working. And by 1942, it becomes fairly obvious that there are other children also in desperate, desperate situations there. They are on trains, directed by the Germans, going who knows where, but pretty sure what's going to happen to them. And there is this MCC volunteer young woman speaking French in France, watching these trains go. What does she do? She goes and she asks, can I have these children come to my home, my children's home here? That, of course, is an illegal act. She puts herself at great, great risk. And it doesn't take terribly long until the authorities, at this point likely the French authorities, under the domination of the Germans, discover that this young woman is doing something illegal. And Loss Gundon is like Joseph. She is sitting as in detention as a prisoner of war with the French-German forces because she's been breaking the law. Here is a young woman, an MCC volunteer, trying to do something positive, and she joins Joseph, as we would say, innocent people in jail. Go to the eastern edge of Asia, the 1950s. This is before I was born. The hot spot of the Cold War bubbling up in the Korean Peninsula there, dangling off the east side of China. And we have this terrible, terrible devastation there for 3 years. Lots and lots of children again who are caught in the grips of these ferocious talons of war, over which they have no control. And MCC was again present there in a very positive way for nearly 20 years, operating the Mennonite Vocational School in South Korea, where children, boys, who had come through the war but were orphaned or were disconnected from their families, didn't know where their families were. That goes on for almost 20 years after the war is over. And then, as institutions do, MCC looks at this and says, you know, the war's over 20 years. It's time for us to put our resources elsewhere. That's always such a tough, tough decision. Where is the best use for the resources that churches like University Mennonite put into the caregiving of Mennonite Central Committee? And so here is this good thing that's going on. Children are being helped. They're learning skills. There's this vocational school. They're learning to weld. There are farm managers there helping people to learn how to farm. And then the institutional decision is made to bring this down to a point of closure. I didn't come into the MCC family closely until years and years later, and I still heard people talking about, was that the right decision, coming down to this little point of closing it. But I would say that in both, well, in Joseph's case and in Loss Gundon's case, and in the case of
Korea, we can say that there's nothing lost on the breath of God. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. We're going to sing that at the end. I thought we might sing during the sermon, but I think we'll save it just to the end. We'll turn to that song, number 121. It comes down to sitting in jail for Joseph, sitting in jail for lost Gundan. The vocational school in South Korea is closed. Nothing is lost. Even at those low points, those narrow spaces, the light is red. Even there, God is present. I'm sort of picking on the World War II era, because there was a woman who, her husband was a senior administrator. She would have been sort of what in international assignments we would call an unassigned spouse. Go with your husband. He has an assignment. You will find something useful to do. But they weren't actually, Joe and Edna Ruth Beiler were not actually working internationally. They were traveling internationally, and occasionally Edna Ruth would go with Joanne Beiler. And she was there visiting folks who were doing civilian public service, alternative service during World War II in Puerto Rico. And some of you know this story well. And she noticed these women there in La Plata, Puerto Rico, who were doing fine, fine needlework. And she said, where do you sell it? Well, we sell it in the market. Do you mind if I take some along home and sell it out of the trunk of my car? And so Edna Ruth did, out of the trunk of her car, later out of the basement of her home, 122 North 11th Street there in Akron. And then she was getting older, and she said, I have been building up this, and these folks across the world are depending on the sale of their needlework and other crafts for their livelihood. I wonder if it's possible that Mennonite Central Committee would take over my needlework and craft business. Well, institutions usually like ideas best if they're their own ideas, and this is coming from the outside. And besides, what kind of a business is this? Is this Ruth's business, and is she making a profit, or is this nonprofit, or is this MCC? And you look at Ruth's business cards of the day, and it has her name and her address and her business name, and then down in the little corner on her business card, it says Mennonite Central Committee. Which one is it? And it came to a pretty narrow spot. Does this thing have a future in the 1960s? Nothing is lost to the breath of God. In many ways, MCC was a man's world in that era. Some would note that perhaps that legacy persists. It's something we work at very, very hard, realizing that God gifts all people. But the decision was made, and I dare say by men, by 1972. That the response to Europe after the war, particularly used clothing, that needs to come to an end. This is painful, closing down programs. And word went out, a decision from the board, no less, of Mennonite Central Committee. Please cut your contributions of clothing to Mennonite Central Committee by one-third, because your generosity is just too great, and we don't have ways to use it. And the folks in Canada, they looked at this and they said, well, you know, we get a lot of clothing from Western Canada, British Columbia. We get a lot of clothing from Eastern Canada, Ontario. We don't even need, if we're going to cut by one-third, the clothing contributed by folks in Manitoba. And so they had the audacity. At that point, there was just a fledgling organization called Mennonite Central Committee there in Manitoba. And they said, we don't want your used clothing anymore in Manitoba. MCC wants one-third less, and we will get enough from the two ends of Canada. Please keep your used clothing away from MCC. There were some women that got a bit steamed about that. Ah, what do you mean? What are we going to do? This is what we do. We donate, we mend, we clean, we fold, we bail, we ship, and you're saying you don't. I talked to John Hostetler, 93, still living, who had to go deliver that news. He's at Fairmount Homes, just outside of Akron these days. And you know, he remembers that. He remembers that clearly, because these folks were fairly upset. We're down now. What happens now? It's at a point. It's not as pointed as sitting in jail like Los Gunden, not as pointed as Joseph, there falsely accused. But it's where people had found a ministry, and now it looks like it's closing down. Nothing is lost to the breath of God. Joseph, advocating for himself, he finds a way to not only get out of prison, but to become one of the most senior officers in all of Egypt, to save not only his people, but the neighbors to his people as well. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Eventually, Los Gunden was released, and the story was almost lost to oblivion, until one of the young girls that she had rescued, Jeanette Drucker Kalish, said, "I was one of those children taken from the trains, saved by loss. And I can tell you who the others were." What has been done to recognize her sacrifice and her risk and her going to into detention behind the black swastikas? The end result was in 2016, Loss became one of five Americans recognized by the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem as among the 25,000 righteous among the nations. Gentiles who helped the Jewish people in the hour of need in the Holocaust. And they ferret out people who made a difference. And so there it was in the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., President Obama coming in. I got a description of this from James Gunden, a nephew, who was there sitting in the audience. And there comes President Obama, and he reads the names of these, at that point, four folks who have just been recognized as by the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem as the righteous among the nations. Lost didn't live to see that. But now it's widely recognized around the world, five Americans out of 25,000 people, that here we have someone against great odds trying to make a difference. From the little low point, it blooms out just like the story of Joseph. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. The vocational school came to an end. The young farmhand who was hired to work there moves on in 1968, gets married, has children. And here I'm treading on a story that I will need those of you in the audience, perhaps over lunch, to help me make sure I get the story straight, because this is family members of some of you sitting here. The father, Lee Young, suggests that his son, J. Lee Young, may want to go to North America to learn who these Mennonites were that he, the father, had worked with as a farmhand at the Mennonite Vocational School. So J. Lee Young ends up at the Canadian Bible College, ends up at Eastern Mennonite University, learns about the way of Jesus being a way of reconciliation, goes back to South Korea and starts this Korean Peacebuilding Institute, sends me an email in December, and he says, "Ken, I'm bringing some folks here. We're going to visit the Spiker family, but we'd also like to engage a story which we have been learning about here in South Korea. Last time I was here, I talked about the very significant impact of the nickel mines Amish families. One result of that being an MCC was heavily engaged there, receiving and receiving gifts that were coming from around the world, was this story that Don Crable, Steve Nault, and David Weaver Zirka, Amish Grace. And they said, we don't want to take the author royalties of this. We want those author royalties to go to MCC to benefit children around the world. And so that money has continued to come, now heading towards 12 years, $200,000. Because it was not only, it sold well not only in English, but also in French and in German and in Japanese and Korean. And Jay Young had the teachers with whom he was working in South Korea read this book in the Korean language. And he sent me an email and he said, "Ken, would it be possible for us to actually meet these families when we're here in Pennsylvania?" And so it was on January 20, Saturday morning, hometown kitchen down in Georgetown, south of the Strasburg Railroad there. Here come three big white vans in with Korean teachers in, and here come five buggies going to the hitching rail back there. And here are families who buried children. One of the little girls who survived now, she's a young adult, Sarah Ann, sitting around this table having lunch together with Jay Lee Young and his teacher friends, talking about how does one recognize restoration and reconciliation in the face of violence. Jay Lee Young and his friends live there in one of the most militarized peninsulas in the world. We don't have to imagine that. We know that. And these teachers Amish have faced unthinkable grief and loss. And through a translator, Jay doing most of the translating, we sit there and we talk about how does one move forward from that. That story, which when the school closed looked like it in South Korea, it looked like it had ended, but it has now blossomed out with Bethany's sister Karen and her husband and family living there. Nothing, even when a school closes, is lost in the breath of God. Finally, MCC recognizes that it should honor Edna Ruth's work and decides to pick up. It's a major question because this is a business. It's buying and selling, and that's not something that MCC does. I don't need to tell you that with Edna Ruth's beginning and MCC picking that up, that became the beginning and at some points the largest fair trade organization in the world. Edna Ruth Byler invented fair trade. She didn't even know that term. But it now has become common in many places around the world. That little question of what happens now bloomed out to 10,000 villages becoming a leader in fair trade and is now an independent organization here in the United States and Canada. It's still part of MCC. The thrift shops began because four women in the little community of Altona, Manitoba said, if you don't want our used clothing, would MCC take our used money if we sold the clothing? MCC said, no, we don't take used money. We want no. MCC said, of course we'll take your used money. Do you know that the thrift shop network, 108 shops across the United States and Canada, is one of the primary revenue streams of Mennonite Central Committee? Individual giving is number one. Thrift shops are number two. If those four women had not sat around, sort of steam coming out of their ears and steam coming out of their teacups, saying, let's take this and sell it and send the money to MCC and see if that makes John Hostetler happy. And it did. All of these streams of stories continue to this day, working with refugees. The biggest, because it's so long, and I want to be clear here, it's not sort of the largest response at a point in time, but because Syria has been these multiple years, what is it, six, almost 7 years, the conflagration in Syria, that's been one of the biggest responses that MCC has ever had. Refugees in Jordan, refugees in Lebanon. And so what Lost Gundan was doing, that tradition of caring about displaced people is still with us today. And you are part of that. I want to be very clear that I say thank you to the way that this congregation has been involved in so many ways with Mennonite Central Committee. The refugees are one of those. This message of reconciliation that is going out from the Korean Peace Building Institute, that's going out from the Amish community, the translation of that book in so many languages, that continues today. I'm waiting to see. There's a lot of reticence on the part of the Chinese authorities to publish a religious book, but there is discussion in China of putting out Amish grace in one of the primary Chinese languages. We'll see if that happens. The artisan groups that are still making a living in Burkina Faso, taking brass, perhaps bullet casings, and melting it down into artwork, swords in the plowshares, this is still happening today. one of the folks ministering in the greater Syrian conflict from Lebanon, visited one of the thrift shops here in Virginia. And he went back and he started a thrift shop in Lebanon. So a completely foreign concept. And that is happening there today yet. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Thank you for doing your part. Thank you for making a difference. The teachings of Zechariah, the illustrations and the story of Joseph, despise not the day of small things. Little fingers. The light turns green. MCC has benefited immensely from those folks who went through that green light, ended up in Paraguay. Two young men on the portable meat canner this coming season will be from Paraguay. The story continues. When there's a woman who has no specific assignment with MCC says, I see an opportunity here to make a difference in people's lives, we can be thankful there were visionaries who embraced that. Nothing is lost in the breath of God. And the Thrift Shop Network, hiccups along the way. Abundant blessings. Yeah. Few individuals who can't quite see MCC doing the work which I'm trying to describe this morning and not finding adequate venues to discuss that separates itself from MCC. Thank you for those of you who've supported that. Some of us hold out hope that perhaps as personnel changes occur, it will cycle back again into the MCC family, but we don't know that. If you want to volunteer there, by all means do. They're trying to make a difference in their community. MCC remains active in the thrift shop in Belleville, and so that's another opportunity for you as well. Thank you so much for minding the big things, and thank you for joining Zechariah in despising not the small things. Let's pray together. Bless, O God, those narrow places, those thin spaces, those places where the story almost dies, so that they might continue in many ways and bless others in the future. We pray through Christ. Amen.
Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Ken, thank you for... It's really fine to be in the presence of a good storyteller. Besides having good material, your delivery is very funny. Particularly also like the story of... a good storyteller doesn't care who's listening, so the children's sermon was also very poignant. Reminds me of the fact of these kids where a seed was planted and you never know when it's going to bear fruit. For 20-some years in Wisconsin, I was a Cub Scout leader. And I worked with about as many other moms and dads as Cub Scout leaders as I did with boys. And the thing I would tell them every year was, there's two rules to this. You'll never do enough for these kids. Deal with it. You just never will. You'll always go away feeling like you could have inadequate, like you could do more. And number two is, nothing you do for them is ever wasted. Nothing you do for a child is ever wasted. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Your sermons also, since we don't have Sunday school, I'm going to do a little bit, and we can talk about this at lunch, focused on, or kept coming back to the theme of this focal point, this pivot point, where things changed because of that one small thing. And it occurred to me that in most cases, that was all realized in hindsight, that the instance on the tracks and the instance in South Korea, all of that was, you come to realize that that was the moment. But what it has in common is the final line from the scripture in Genesis, where Joseph says, where it says that with Joseph the Lord was always with him. So just like the inherent intimidation that comes with following a good storyteller behind the podium, all I can hope for is that the Lord is with me. This now is the time to share our joys and concerns. God, we taste and see that you are good. Everything we have comes from you, source and end of all things. And nothing is lost on the breath of God. As we bring our joys and concerns to you now, Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the word of Brother Ken. Let those stories be seeds in our hearts and in the hearts of the children, that we may never know when and what fruit they bring. Lord, we bring our collective voices now as we pray for our sister Leah, who is recovering from surgery, and let our hearts go out to her. And Lord, it's with joy, but also with some trepidation that we hear the news from the DNC, and we pray that the transition in leadership can not only go well for that country, but can serve as an example for leadership around the world. Lord, hear our prayer. Dear Lord God, hear our voices audibly now as we pray together the words of the Lord's Prayer that you taught us, that sweet, simple verses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Do you want to do announcements? There's several announcements in the bulletin. There is a meal immediately following the service here this morning. There is no Sunday school, so we'll just have to have our conversations downstairs. Karen, do you want to talk to the picnic and the moving? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen Rath. The picnic on August 23rd has been canceled because of the conflict with our new pastor, Kate's moving day. So just keep that in mind.
To be rescheduled or to be determined?
No, we're not going to reschedule it. It's just canceled.
Okay. Does anybody else have announcements?
My name is Ronnie Brubaker. Next week is our Ag Progress Days. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Big Ag Fair, free admission, free parking. It's out by Rock Springs, so it's about like 10-minute drive from here. Go to Pine Grove with flashlight. You keep going. They park you. And Shippers Creek has a tent there. I'll be there Wednesday around 1 o'clock for a few hours helping out with that. So check it out. It's a lot of fun and, you know, have a good time.
Anything else? Then, Brother Ken, you're going to bring us the benediction?
Let's stand together.
Hey, and let's open our Sing the Storybook to 121 in preparation. Or did we just do that one? Okay, go ahead and do that so we can be ready, please. Why don't you come up here so we get it into the microphone, into the recording, please?
I'd like to suggest... In Sing the Story, number 16, Peace Before Us, and in light of the theme of Nothing is Lost, this is a song that I can't sing without remembering our time in North Korea when we were teaching English there for several months. And the students were very cautious about using anything that sounded religious. But when I sang this song, they all loved this, and I have this vision of standing in front of this classroom and them praying this song, Peace Before Us. We didn't sing the Christ and the Alleluia, but we sang the first Peace, Love, and Light. So I'd like to suggest that we sing that in light of Nothing is Lost. I'm not sure where that all went there, but let's sing that after the benediction.
Receive an ancient blessing that has been used in our tradition for many, many years. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be power, majesty, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Peace.